भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11, चैप्टर 11 एंड टेक्स्ट 1। श्री भगवान उवाच भद्दो मुक्तो भद्दो मुक्त इति व्याख्या गुणतो मेन वस्तुतः गुणस्य मायया मूलवतान् न मे मोक्षो न बन्धनम्। श्री भगवान उवाच बद्धो मुक्त इति व्याख्या गुणतो मेन वस्तुतः गुणस्य माया मूलत्वान् न मे मोक्षो न बन्धनम्। श्री भगवान उवाच बद्धो मुक्त इति व्याख्या गुणतो मेन वस्तुतः गुणस्य माया मूलत्वान् न मे मोक्षो न बन्धनम्। श्री भगवान उवाच बद्धो मुक्तो इति व्याख्या मूलत्वान् न मे मोक्षो न बन्धनम्। माताजी, श्री भगवान उवाच, द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हैड सेड, बद्धः इन बॉन्डेज, मुक्तः लिबरेटेड इति दस Vyakhya, the explanation of the living entity, Gunataha, due to the modes of material nature, Me, which are my potency, Na, not, Vastutaha, in reality, Gunasya, of the modes of material nature, Maya, my illusory energy, Mulatvat, because of being the cause, Na, not, Me, of me, Mokshaha, liberation, Na, nor, Bandhanam, bondage. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Uddhav, due to the influence of the material modes of nature, which are under my control, the living entity is sometimes designated as conditioned and sometimes as liberated. In fact, however, the soul is never really bound up or liberated. And since I am the Supreme Lord of Maya, which is the cause of modes of nature, I also am never to be considered liberated or in bondage. Purport. In this chapter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, explains the different characteristics of conditioned and liberated life. The symptoms by which one can recognize saintly persons and the various processes of devotional service to the Lord. In the previous chapter, Uddhav inquired from the Lord how conditioned and liberated life are possible. So the Lord now replies that Uddhav's question is somewhat superficial, since the pure spirit soul is never entangled in the material energy of the Lord. So the living entity imagines a false connection with the three modes of nature and accepts the material body as the self. The living entity therefore suffers the consequences of his own imagination, just as one suffers the illusory activities of a dream. This does not indicate that the material world is illusory, in the sense that it is non-existence. The material world is certainly real, being the potency of the personality of Godhead, and the living entity, being the superior potency of God, is also real. But the living entity's dream of being part and parcel of material world is an illusion that drags him into the contradictory state called material conditioned life. The living entity is never actually Baddha or bound up, since he merely imagines a false connection with the material world. Because there is ultimately no permanent connection between the living entity and matter, there is actually no liberation. So the living entity, being eternally transcendental to the inferior material energy of the Lord, is eternally liberated. Lord Krishna reveals that in one sense the living entity is factually not bound up and thus cannot be liberated. But in another sense, the terms bondage and liberation can be conveniently applied to indicate the particular situation of the individual soul who is the marginal potency of the Lord. Although the individual soul is never actually bound to matter, he suffers the reactions of material nature because of false identification, and thus the term Baddha or bound up may be used to indicate the nature of living entity's experience within the inferior energy of the Lord. Since Baddha describes a false situation, freedom from such a false situation may also be described as moksha or liberation. Therefore, the terms bondage and liberation are acceptable. If one understands that such terms only refer to temporary situations created by illusion and do not refer to the ultimate nature of the living entity. In this verse, Lord Krishna states, Gunasya Maya Mulatvan Name Moksho Na Bandhanam. The term liberation and bondage can never be applied to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, since He is the Absolute Truth and the Supreme Controller of everything. Lord Krishna is eternally the Supreme Transcendental Entity and he can never be bound by illusion. It is the duty of illusory potency of the personality of Godhead to attract the living entities to ignorance by creating the false impression of a blissful existence separate from Lord Krishna. The illusory conception of existence apart from the personality of Godhead is called Maya or material illusion. Since Lord Krishna is the supreme absolute controller of Maya, there is no possibility that Maya could have any influence over the personality of Godhead. Thus, the term bandhanam or bondage cannot be applied to the eternal, blissful and omniscient personality of Godhead. The term moksha or liberation, indicating freedom from bandhan, is equally irrelevant to the Lord. So there is long purport, so we'll stop here and tomorrow we'll continue with the next part. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksharonmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Mitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadeshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advait Gadadhar Srivas Adigaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Mukham Karoti Vachalam Panghum Langayate Girim Yad Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramanandam Shri Chaitanya Vishnu. Hare Krishna. First of all, I'd like to seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees, all the Vidwans assembled here, so that I can speak on this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, feeling very unqualified and difficult to speak in front of such qualified audience, but somehow this is service given, so we have to. It's very honestly, it's quite a difficult task for me to speak in front of all these exalted devotees who have such great understandings of this subject matter. Last few days we have been hearing on from this wonderful pastime of Uddhav Gita, and a few days back I think Rudranath Prabhu very wonderfully summarized how to drive the car on this in an Indian highway following the instructions of Krishna to Udhavshi, how one should be very careful, being always in association, hearing the guidance, understanding the urgency, not wasting the time, following all the rules and regulations, and then we achieve the moksha or the liberation. An interesting verse and translation today, the Krishna is here in saying, my dear Uddhav, due to the influence of mode which are under my control, living entities sometimes designated as conditioned, sometimes as liberated. In fact, soul is never bound up or liberated. So there is never a baddha or a mukta state. We are all liberated all the time. So that's what the purport wonderfully explains, how in one sense the living entity is always liberated. The living entity is, it's all pure. As Srila Prabhupada, I think, gives that example that when the rain water falls, it's falling now, the water is very pure. But when it mixes with the dirt or on the earth, it assumes it becomes like a kechar or a dust or dirt. Of course, I don't know whether the rainwater nowadays is pure because of the pollution, the smog in the air or the whatever particles must be carried by the air. But let's say the water which just falls from the clouds, I don't know whether the pollution has reached the clouds also or not. The planes flying and all those things, probably the pollution is there in the... I'm not sure whether this analogy is true right now. But the point is, yes, the cloud water is very pure. The sea water is all salty, the sun evaporates it and throws pure, sweet, nectarine or water. So that is what the living entity is, Prabhupada explains. It's very pure. It's part of Krishna. So it is Sat Chit and Ananda. And it cannot be conditioned in that sense. So in the purport it is explained how this conditioned thing is seen because of the imagination or false connection with the material world. Because of a false connection which we establish with the material world, with the inferior energy of the Supreme Lord, we assume or we imagine that we are suffering or we experience the miseries of this world. And beautiful example Srila Prabhupada and other places also gives. It's just like a dream. We all have different dreams in the night. How many of us had dreams last night? At least I had. But many of them didn't have, or maybe don't remember. Some people don't remember dreams. And there's a whole actually analysis about dreams and how to interpret dreams, and if you see a tree, what does that mean, and if you see this in a dream, and the whole PhD thesis by people on dream analysis. But Prabhupada explains that how actually the whole world, in one sense, we are all dreaming. Like in dream, we experience, Prabhupada gives that example that a lion or a tiger is chasing you and you're running. You actually experience those emotions which are there. You actually start palpitating and just running and fearful and what to do now and whether to climb a tree or jump in a well or do what. You just keep planning and you just get completely enamored and absorbed in that dream till the time somebody wakes up or the alarm rings or a mobile rings or whatever, something happens. So then we come out of that illusory experience. The similar Srila Prabhupada explains that we are living in this world like a dream state. We are experiencing as if it's all real. The miseries of this body, the miseries of the living entities, the miseries of the material nature, as if they are real. But the day or the moment we come out of that illusion, we come out of that the dream state, we realize, hey, I am not this body, I am different from this body, I am part of God, I am actually eternally liberated. So therefore, in that sense, the devotees in this purport are explaining that there is no conditioned nature at all. Because it's just an imagination, it's just a dream thing. When we get up, we will see, oh, we are happy being with Krishna, we are part of Krishna. So that is what is being explained. So that is the beautiful point that is being explained. And it is because of that attachment to this body, to this material things, or people of this world, that we identify with everything that we see or observe. That's the root cause of trouble in our lives. The attachment, asakti, that's the root cause of difficulties or problems in our life. Because anything of this world or any person of this material world is temporary. If we get attached to something of this world, anything of this world, if we get attached, the seed is sown of suffering, of misery. It's a matter of time when that thing will be taken away, snatched away, stolen, or we die and that is taken away. Or we lose it. Misplace it, lose it, stolen it, given it to somebody else, transferred, snatched, whatever. So it's the day we are attached to anything or any person of this world, we are sowing our seeds of suffering. We realize that this is... So it is we who are attached to this world, that's what is giving us the experience of bondage. So the day we release that attachment, we are liberated. So in that sense, we are liberated always. Like Prabhupada gives another example that a man is holding a tree and he's saying, leave me, leave me. It's actually free. The man is free. The day he releases it, he's free. There's no, in one sense, nobody is holding like that Chipko Andolan. They've got people stuck to the trees, letting the trees not cut. But something like that, we are also being attached to our things. No, nobody should take my thing. Nobody should take my this. Nobody should take. We get attached to so many things, so many people of this world that but we don't realize that the seed of suffering is being sown at the same time. And nowadays, with the technology and everything, the seeds of attachment are so strongly being sown. Even like a small child is get attached to the technology. Recently I was visiting my hometown. There we went to one relative's home. They have a 4-year-old daughter. And the father, we went in the evening and around 8 o'clock, the father comes running. Not running, the father knows that we are here, so he's eager to come back early from office. And he comes and rings the bell and the daughter realizes that the father has come. So she runs and jumps to the father and we were so happy, wow, to see such a loving exchange and between a father and a daughter. And that daughter, she immediately jumps to father's pocket, takes out the phone and says, touch wala phone aa gaya, touch wala phone aa gaya. So we were surprised that thinking that father has come all the way working hard to see and be with the family and she comes and she says, touch wala, because that is the only, they had only one smartphone at home, fortunately. And she was so happy, oh, touch wala phone again, spent the whole time. We were there for like a couple hours and that 4-year girl was with, and anyone who takes the phone away for a minute or something, no, children have their own ways of. So that's our state. We just get attached to things, people, and then when they are taken away, that's misery. So that is the illusion of, which is being mentioned here, that any attachment, misery. That's the imaginary attachments which we have in this world. So there's no actual. So in that sense, it is explained that there is no liberation, because there is no binding. It's we are holding the tree. So in that sense, there's no question of liberation. But then it is explained that in the purport further on, that in one sense we can use these terms conditioned and liberated in the sense, but we have to understand in what context. In the context that the living entity experiences the experiences of living entity with this material world because of the imaginary attachment is what can be referred to as a Baddha state. And that awareness of who really I am can be referred to as liberation. So that is what beautifully the purport explains. And that it does not actually apply to the ultimate nature of the living entity, which is all pure, all like liberated all the time. And definitely in the end of the purport is explained that the mukta and the baddha states, as Krishna also explains in this verse, that cannot be applied to the, definitely to the Supreme Lord, who is the absolute truth, who is the supreme controller. So that's by definition. He is the absolute truth, he is the supreme controller. If the Lord comes under the purview of the modes, then the modes are the Lord. by definition. His absolute truth is the supreme control. So therefore the Lord is never bound, or he is never, then when it's not bound, the question of liberation does not come in. So therefore we can never say or think that the Lord can be at any state bound or illusion. In the Krishna Leela, Brahmaji, when he saw Krishna playing in Vrindavan with his cowherd friends, he got at some point illusioned, and he thought, maybe I will try to put the Lord in illusion. Let me see what the Lord does. I'll take away all the cows and I will take away all the children. Put the Lord in illusion. And Shukadev Goswami brilliantly explains the state of Brahmaji after he got bewildered. Evam sammohayan Vishnum vimoham vishvamohanam swayam eva maya ajo api swayam eva vimohitah. Evam sammohayam Vishnum. That in this way he wanted to mystify the Supreme Lord, put the Lord into illusion. But another name of Lord Sri Krishna is vimoham, who can never be mystified, who cannot be mystified, because he is, and he is also Vishwamohan. Vimoham, Vishwamohan. Swayam eva maya aj api. That Brahmaji himself, swayam eva, got vimohita, put into bewilderment. So that is the Supreme Lord. The purport explains his absolute truth, he is the supreme controller, so therefore by definition cannot be bound. And once not bound, cannot be liberated. No question of liberation come. And in the last section of the purport, the second paragraph explains the job description of the illusory potency. To attract the living entity to this falsity of this material world. The impression of, beautifully this line, I liked it very much, explains that the living entity's job or duty is to give the living entity an impression of blissful experience separate from Krishna. That's an illusion which all the living entities get trapped in. An impression of a blissful experience separate from Krishna, which is not possible because it's an illusion. That's Maya, illusory conception of existence separate from the Lord. That is what Maya is. So therefore, so that's our problem, that we are sleeping. So many people have sleep problems naturally. So many, more than 50 to 70 million people in America have to take sleeping pills to sleep. So that's the sleeping disorder. So dream will happen because when you sleep, so we all have to, in one sense we all have that sleeping problem. Sometimes, no, of course, maybe in the night or sometime in the day also, sleeping, but then we experience those dreams. So therefore Lord Chaitanya would always say, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, get up. Gaura Chandra Bole. So, Kota Nidra Jayo, Maya Pishachira Kole. That we are sleeping on the lap of Maya. We all need a lap to sleep on. Some cushions, some mattress, some comfort in life. But here Mahaprabhu is telling, the Lord Chaitanya is saying, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gaura Chandra Bole, Kota Nidra Jaya, Maya, Pishachira Kole. That we are all sleeping on the lap of Maya. So only thing is, so Maya basically refers to ashray or shelter or comfort which we all seek. So we all need that ashray. And here now we are sleeping on the lap of Pishachira, or a Maya, who has the power to assume different forms at will. So all these bhutas and pishachas, the pishachas especially have that, the empowerment to assume the form at different will. So we are sleeping on that lap of these, the different attractions of this material world, which are so captivating and ever expanding. Pishachira's forms are ever expanding. Attractions of this material world, the internet, the medias, the movies, the prajalpas. At least I can say for myself, honestly, it appears so attractive. The media is so powerful, it is captivating actually. If you just go to a YouTube thing, or you just happen to look for something and you see something else and see something else. It's so captivating. You just get enamored. It's all Krishna's energy. So but as Radhika Vallapur was explaining, when we establish our sambandha strongly, then we can practice Abhidaya strongly. So therefore, when we hear regularly, when we read, when we chant, when we establish our sambandha strongly, then we can see things for what they are. We can see these attractions of this world as Pishachir, somebody who is changing her forms. So therefore, it is very, very important. Otherwise, we will be enamored and Pishachi, what it will do is suck the blood, take the energy out, if you kill the propensity to serve. So therefore, instead of Maya's lap, we have to shift to Krishna's lap, the lap of the Supreme Mother Srimati Radharani, in the form of holy name, in the form of association, in the form of devotional service. We have to seek shelter of the lap of Srimati Radharani, and then it's possible. Bhaktivinoda Thakur further explains in that song, Jeev Jago, Inachi Oshadi Maya Nishidhar Lagi, Hari Naam Mahamantra Lo Tum Magi. That wake up, this is the waking up pill. People use sleeping pill. Lord Chaitanya is saying, take this wake up pill, Maya Nishidhar Lagi, Hari Naam Mahamantra. That please take this sleeping pill, wake up, like that. And Mahaprabhu is encouraging us to take up this, instead of the sleeping pill, which will put us into dream state, take up this waking up pill. I don't think so any Ayurveda does have any, I don't think so Ayurveda that or allopath have waking up problem. Anyone, waking up problem, everyone has, but nobody has medicines for that. Any doctor here, waking up medicines? No, I don't think so. But there, Mahaprabhu is giving that if you want to get out of this dream state, we have to get up. That is Aushadi we have to take up. So that is important. Actually, we went to one of our Padyatras. We were traveling to Rajasthan and we went to one village, Chomu. There actually people were doing Harinam. Every day, the devotees there, like 50 or 100 of them, 50 of them maybe, between 50 to 100, every day 6 a.m., they will take their kartals, mridangas, sound systems and go to different streets of Chomu village. So every village, every street of the village is covered in a week or 10 days. So every day it go to different, and actually wake up people, get up 6 o'clock with loud sound system, kirtan, they wake up people. And people are happy, nobody is opposing. Bombay, if we do that, probably, I don't know. People are in deep sleep, so mostly people won't get up. It's so high up, 20th floor, 50th floor, 100th floor, the sound won't reach. We need a more powerful sound system. Of course, the devotees in the evening every day are going and waking up people and shaking up people. And that is amazing thing happening. So today also happens to be the appearance day of Srimad Vakreshwar Pandit. So beautiful, this point is also mentioned in his life. So we'll just very briefly talk about Srila Vakreshwar Pandit and his... He was the associate of Mahaprabhu in Navadvip Leela, participated in all the kirtans with Mahaprabhu, and he was one of the greatest dancers in Mahaprabhu's Leelas. Sometimes he could dance for 72 hours non-stop. So we can try, half an hour Guru Puja is difficult, festivals 1 hour Guru Puja, and it's exhausting, difficult. So sometimes the kirtan would go for 72 hours. And amazing, the singers, they would sing. Of course, they probably might be taking turns to sing, schedule who would sing. And actually, many times when Vakreshwar Pandit would dance, Mahaprabhu would personally sing. And Vakreshwar Pandit would actually go and touch Lord Mahaprabhu's lotus feet and tell, my dear Lord, give me like 100 or thousands of Gandharvas to sing, and then I will actually dance to my great satisfaction. That was his enthusiasm to dance. So one of the incidents when Mahaprabhu was traveling or wandering in Swachanda Vihar, in Navadvip, he would go to different places and do Harinam Sankirtan after the first Sankirtan party which they did. And then one time Mahaprabhu was in the lane of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya's father, Maheshwar Visharat, in that lane, and nearby was our Devananda Pandit. He was staying in the same lane. Probably all scholars were staying in one lane. Usually, yeah, like doctor's lane, this colony, that colony. So they had this. Near to him was Devananda Pandit's home and his Vidyapit, or not Vidyapit exactly, but where he would give discourse on Bhagavatam. So he was, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, he was very gyanavan, very austere, and ajanma udasi nirasakta, no attachments to this material world, and moksha abhilasha, and absolute all the wonderful qualities. Even he was celibate actually. He maybe not formally sannyas, but he was celibate for his life. So he had all the qualities. But then Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, but he was bhakti hina. So he had all the zeros, but just that one was missing. So that one would have made it complete. So he was, and when Mahaprabhu and the devotees, he was reciting Bhagavatam and giving a discourse. And then when Mahaprabhu heard Devanandpur, he's there in everyone's heart. He knows what intentions are. And even though it was pure Srimad Bhagavatam philosophical discussion happening, and Mahaprabhu became really angry and said, Beta ki arth vakhane, what, a child, what are you explaining? Bhagavat arth kon janmana jane, when you're in many lives, you will never be able to understand the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Mahaprabhu, in front of devotees, began to describe the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, how Srimad Bhagavatam describes devotional service as the goal, and how the Vedas are like the yogurt, the dahi, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the churned butter, the nectar from that. And then Mahaprabhu says that anyone who discriminates between me, my servant, and Bhagavatam is certainly destroyed. Like that, Mahaprabhu was shouting, and in great anger, Mahaprabhu actually just goes, is about to get in, and Mahaprabhu is saying that I will tear his book. Mahaprabhu was even thinking about tearing his Bhagavatam copy, and then the Lord went ahead. Even actually the devotees had to stop him. Mahaprabhu, no, you cannot do this, you cannot tear the Bhagavatam copy of Devanandpadi, how can you do that? And Mahaprabhu was explaining that you cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam through education, through austerity, or through fame. And one who says that I understand Bhagavatam, Mahaprabhu says, that does not know. And Yamaraj punishes who glorifies such reciters. So that reciter will go to hell, but one who glorifies that reciter also goes to hell. Another day Mahaprabhu was doing Harinam Sankirtan to another village or another lane, like they have Leamington Road, Dadar Road, which different lanes every day devotees came. So Mahaprabhu would also go to different lanes. So this time he went to another lane where there was wine shop. Of course, here, there, any lane you go, there are wine shops. But there in one particular lane when Mahaprabhu went, there was a wine shop, and then that fragrance is not the right word. The smell of the fragrance for those who drink, but anyway, the smell, or how it is called, it is the sweat and the urine of horse. That's how it is explained. It is the smell, something like that. Anyway, we have not experience of either, but heard, that's what we have heard. But anyway, Mahaprabhu was, that's the devotee. He can see everything in the light of Krishna consciousness, everything in service of the Lord, everything for the pleasure of the Lord. So devotees have that vision whenever they see anything in this market or anywhere they go. Hey, this can be used for Radha Gopinath service, or they bring it for Radha Gopinath. This can be used for the deities or something. So Mahaprabhu was in the mood of Balramji. He said, Varuni, Varuni. And then Mahaprabhu was like running towards inside the wine shop, and Srivas Thakur again had to hold him. Hold his feet. Mahaprabhu, stop. And Mahaprabhu is telling, hey, Vishwambha is saying that, am I subject to rules and regulations of this world? What do you think? And then Srivas is saying, my dear Lord, you are the father of the universe. If you break all these rules, who will protect? What will people say? If someone misunderstands your leela and he criticizes you, he will suffer rest of his life. So better for them, Mahaprabhu, you don't go. And then Mahaprabhu was in great ecstasy of Balramji. Finally, he had to tell Srivas, Mahaprabhu, I will give up my life if you go in. Devotees are worried about the Lord's reputation and preaching more. And Mahaprabhu was in that ecstasy. He said, no, you hold on. Mahaprabhu finally smiled. Okay, said, don't worry. I will not enter inside the... Because of your desire, I will not make your word false. And then let's move forward. And of course, as soon as they move forward, the drunkards come out and they chant, Hari Hari! And they were like, Hari Bol, Hari Bol! And they were like in that mode. And some of them actually started glorifying that Nimai Pandit is a good man. He dances very well. He sings very well. That was the Lord captivating whenever he sings or dances. We can imagine when the Lord would sing. In this world, somebody sings like Lata Mangeshkar or Kishore Kumar or whatever, M.S. Subbalakshmi. They sing, we are enamored. So we can even imagine what it would be like Lord Chaitanya personally singing for Vrakureshwar Pandit. How much captivating that, purifying, captivating that Sankirtan would be. It's difficult even to imagine. Somehow they didn't have those jukeboxes, otherwise somebody would have recorded Mahaprabhu. Of course, it's there in the recorded in the scriptures, but I don't know, sometimes the scientists, they were trying that all these sound waves we speak are there in the vibration and we can catch one day probably, and if that happens someday, and probably we can hear Lord Chaitanya's kirtan. So and all these drunkards with their, some of them brought their bottles also in hand, the wine and different things, and they were like clapping, I don't know, with one hand, clapping and dancing and chanting, and they were saying, Nimai Pandit is such a beautiful singer and dancer. So that is what sometimes thus happens in India. Like the most, as it is, some people say that the maximum lie is spoken in India by taking hand on Gita. Gita ki kasam rakke haath karta hoon. And the maximum truth is spoken with wine in hand. They are actually glorifying the Lord. That's how it is. Gita ki kasam. I don't know whether it is still there or not, that Gita ki kasam is there in the courts. But that's what the maximum lie in the country is spoken with Gita on the hand. But here they are speaking the truth, wine. So anyway, such is the result of Vrindavan Das Thakur explained. That such is the result of seeing the Vaishnavas and Lord Vishnu. So the Vaishnava should go out actually, so that people can see and get purified. Those who are good Vaishnavas, so therefore. And good to go to different places. So at least by seeing, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains. So Vrindavan Das Thakur says that I offer obeisances to anyone who even saw Mahaprabhu. Even whether he's a drunkard or whoever he is. That was Vrindavan Das Thakur's eagerness. So then he continues, Mahaprabhu continues forward, and then on the way, Devanand Pandit was going to the market or some place. And then Mahaprabhu sees Devanand Pandit, and as soon as Mahaprabhu sees Devanand Pandit, he remembers the offense which he had done to Srivas Thakur. That is the Lord, he remembers the offense. Of course, the Lord does not repent, forgets all the misdeeds done to him or any other misdeeds which we have done. He only sees the good qualities in a living entity. But when it comes to Vaishnava Aparad, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that Lord immediately remembered that one time he was giving, Devanand Pandit Ji was giving a Bhagavat Katha, and Srivas Thakur went one day thinking he'll hear some Srimad Bhagavat Katha, and then in great ecstasy he started to crying and weep, and the students, those who were there in Devanand Pandit, they thought, hey, our class is getting disturbed. They should drag him actually and put him outside, not understanding the ecstatic symptoms of Srivas. And Devanand Pandit did not object to that, and he said, okay, let him take and the class can continue. So then Mahaprabhu goes into that flashback, tells the devotees, and like that Mahaprabhu chastises him. And so Mahaprabhu actually chastises him that time, and then like Lord Chaitanya, very angrily, that you are teaching Srimad Bhagavatam but you offended Srivas Thakur. Is such a personality, even Ganga Devi desires to see Srivas Thakur. So that is the glory of Srivas, and to whom you committed offense. You will never be understand the import of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Mahaprabhu explained that one who eats full satisfaction feels happy when he goes out, but I tell you, though though you are teaching Srimad Bhagavatam full of ecstatic love, you will never achieve any happiness in this life. Mahaprabhu, good example. One is fully satisfied, he feels happy to going out. Some of us experienced yesterday, happy eating and then going out is happiness, preaching. So, and then Devanand Pandit was very ashamed, he was very quiet, he returned home, he didn't say even a word, returned home. And of course, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that Devanand Pandit, that's the glory, most fortunate in one sense, he received the punishment from the Lord personally. That is the glory of Devananda Pandit. Even one who is get killed by the Lord, in one sense, is liberated. But here Devananda Pandit was, and he was also grateful. Chaitanya Dandajay Mastak Kariliya. He took that chastisement in a right spirit, and then that the seed of devotion started in him. And one of the evenings, our Vakreshwar Panditji was doing at Kirtan in somebody's house in Kulia, some home program. And there Devanand Pandit reached there hearing the glories of Vakreshwar Pandit, and he was charmed by seeing the beautiful form of Vakreshwar Pandit dancing and symptoms of ecstatic love. So he came with a cane in his hand and he kept the crowd in order so that his dancing is not getting disturbed. So crowd care service, and he was there for like 6 hours he was doing that service and seeing to it, the kirtan stopped after 6 hours. Devanand Pandit actually came to Vrakreshwar Pandit, offered him obeisances and thanked him and glorified him. And Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that that time Vrakreshwar Pandit became very pleased, and then he gave him the blessings that Krishna Bhakti Hok Tumar, that may Lord, may that devotion in your heart is aroused. So that is, when we please the devotees, then that devotion is so. And then later on, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to Nadia to meet his mother and Ganga, at that time he delivered Devanand Pandit because he served Vakreshwar Pandit. Mahaprabhu very beautifully describes that. Mahaprabhu told Devanand Pandit that Vakreshwar Pandit is fully imbued with Lord's transcendental energy, and whoever becomes devoted to him attains lotus feet of Krishna. So that's our hope, getting attached to some devotee of the Lord. His heart, Mahaprabhu is explaining, glorifying Vakreshwar Pandit, that Vakreshwar Pandit's heart is personal abode of Sri Krishna. And as Sri Krishna dances, so Vakreshwar Pandit also dance. Wherever one can get association of Vakreshwar, that place is the sum total of all the holy places and is as good as Sri Vaikuntha. Sri Vakreshwar Pandit Pad Ki. So in this way, Vakreshwar Pandit is described as the Gopi Tungavidya in the Krishna Leela, who is also very expert in singing and other glorifying the Supreme Lord. And Mahaprabhu would personally sing. And Mahaprabhu one time said that, "You are one of my wings, Vakreshwar Pandit. If I had another, actually I could fly in the sky." And that way Vakreshwar Pandit was such glorious personality who would dance on the kirtans of the Supreme Lord, dancing to the will of the Supreme Lord. So we all also can pray that we also can, on this day, pray to Vakreshwar Pandit. We can also dance to the tunes of Krishna, to the dance of Guru and the Vaishnavas. Because dance everyone has to, either on the modes or on Krishna's instructions or Guru's instructions. So we have to choose where we want to dance, on whose instructions we want to dance, on our modes, our own desires, our own conditionings, or dance to the will of the Supreme Lord, Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Hare Krishna. Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Hare Krishna.